Okay, let's take a poll. And I want you to be honest. How many of you, when you were growing up and had to eat a meal that you did not like, had a parent who said, "There are many starving children in Africa who would love to eat this meal"? Okay, we're not going to quibble about the country. Now, the follow-up question. How many of you were brave enough then to say to your parents, "Well, then send it to them"? We got a few more, a few there.
What did somebody else in the family said that?
What was that?
I didn't say it. My son said it to my father.
Oh. Oh. I thought of that. And believe me, I heard it a number of times when I was growing up. Especially when it was vegetable soup or sauerkraut. Not at the same time, but... And I thought of that as I listened again to the account of the first Passover. Because there's one little line that I've always kind of wondered, why is that in there? "You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. Of the eating of the Passover lamb." The lambs were sacrificed. In a sense, we can say, not by choice, but they gave their all. And the Hebrews were to respect that sacrifice by consuming all of it. To leave it would be to disrespect, kind of say, "Ah, part of that lamb sacrifice was just trash, garbage." But it wasn't. They gave their all. And that one sentence signifies a respect and dignity for all of life, not just for human life, but all of life. You know, we have, or there is today, and has been for many, many centuries, a theology of atonement that says Christ gave his all, Christ sacrificed his love so that people might be saved. And we respect that sacrifice when we recognize the all that Christ gave and all that Christ was and did and said. And from that, then, we can move into our Romans passage. And what we have here is a passage that describes the two parts of our lives, or the two sacrifices that we can offer in our lives, as it were, to serve God's people, to do our part in bringing about God's kingdom. In the beginning, we hear, "You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." And I will add, you shall not bear false witness, because that's also one of the Ten Commandments. And I think most of us can probably say, I don't do those things. I don't believe that there's anyone here who's murdered anyone. Todd Mundo, who writes a commentary blog entitled The Saturday Night Theologian, talks of how it reminds him of the old saying. And I heard this old saying when I was in college, and it was part of a football cheer that I won't give all of it to, but the cheer went, "We don't drink, we don't dance, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't associate with those that do." And there were other parts, but like I said, I won't go into that. The point is that when it comes to defining what we believe or defining our religion, we often define it in terms of "thou shalt not." Our religion tells us what not to do. Now, that's only half the equation. And I think most of us would say, we don't have a problem with the thou shalt nots. We're not doing most of those things. Maybe every now and then we'll tell a little lie, but, you know, it's a good lie, right? Right. But there are those things, too, that we are supposed to do. And I think in truth, those are the hardest of the two. It's easier not to do something than to do something. In his letter to Romans, Paul writes, Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. But have you ever really thought about how loving everyone, how hard that is? I mean, that means loving the person who cuts you off in traffic. Loving neighbor in many ways is contrary to the way the world tells us how to live. The world says, take care of number one. You've heard me say that a number of times. The ancient Hebrews were called to respect all life and not waste any life. We are called to respect all life and to not waste any life, even our own. And that, so that means it's not just about thou shalt not, but it's about thou shalt as well. We're called to love even on enemies. Russell Rackman, who is the curator of the religious blog, The Hardest Question, and a preacher at the House of Mercy in St. Paul, Minnesota, writes concerning this passage. It's tempting to read these seven verses simply as an admonishment against financial indebtedness and encouragement to pure living. Paul's not talking about debt. He's talking about allegiance. He's calling the church in Rome out of a system of empire and pointing to citizenship in the kingdom of God, where love is the law. Owe no one, no system, no party allegiance. Rather, owe any and all only according to the rule of love. And then he quotes Karl Barth, the great 20th century theologian. Love of one another ought to be undertaken as the protest against the course of this world. Let me read that again. Love of one another ought to be undertaken as the protest against the course of this world. And that's why what we deal with when we talk about Rally Day is so important in the life of the church. As we begin our new Christian education program for the year, not just for the little ones or the youth, but for us as well. Because it reminds us that we have a whole sacrifice. We all know, we all learned the Ten Commandments, had to memorize them when we were little, or most of us did. And we know the thou shalt not. But what about the thou shalt? They're important. And when we study God's word, when we wrestle with it, as it were, we learn how to give the whole sacrifice and be followers, true followers of Christ. Mundo writes, no one in our congregation has broken any of the Ten Commandments in the past year. Someone might say, fine. But how many in your congregation supported politicians who robbed from the poor and gave to the rich? Nobody who's a member of our church drinks or smokes. Good. But how many support international policies that result in the deaths of thousands upon thousands of people? A Christianity that focuses on thou shalt not is a pale shadow of true Christianity, which focuses on what Christians are called to do. The church does not need pale Christians. We need Christians willing to follow both halves of the equation. We need people who are willing to struggle with what it means to say, I will love my neighbor. Okay, how do I do that? How do I get past my feelings when I'm cut off in traffic or when somebody jumps in the line ahead of me, or you can come up with any number of things? How do I love my neighbor in those instances? We have to struggle with that. That's the only way that we can keep on top of it. Will we be one of those? I think for our sake and for God's sake, I hope so. Amen.